Coming up next on Lutheran Radio UK,
The Acts of the Apostles, a Bible study with Pastor Arno Bessel.
The early church chose seven men to take care of the daily distribution of food to widows. One of them was Stephen, a man full of grace and power, who was doing great wonders and signs among the people. Consequently, opposition arose, and Stephen was arrested and brought to trial before the Supreme Council of the Jews. He was falsely accused of speaking against the law, the temple, and the customs of Moses. Now he stands in court before the authorities, gives his testimony, and defends his case. We read the following in Acts chapter 7, verses 1 to 8. And the high priest said, "Are these things so?" And Stephen said, "Brothers and fathers, hear me. The God of glory appeared to our father Abraham when he was in Mesopotamia, before he lived in Haran, and said to him, 'Go out from your land and from your kindred, and go into the land that I will show you.' Then he went out from the land of the Chaldeans and lived in Haran. And after his father died, God removed him from there into this land in which you are now living. Yet he gave him no inheritance in it, not even a foot's length, but promised to give it to him as a possession and to his offspring after him, though he had no child. And God spoke to this effect, that his offspring would be sojourners in a land belonging to others, who would enslave them and afflict them 400 years. But I will judge the nation that they serve, said God. And after that they shall come out and worship me in this place. And he gave him the covenant of circumcision. And so Abraham became the father of Isaac, and circumcised him on the eighth day, and Isaac became the father of Jacob, and Jacob of the patriarchs." Stephen does not count on any advocate or attorney. He himself defends his cause when he is interrogated. The high priest who presided the council asked, "Are these charges true?" Stephen leads the members of the council back to their roots, recollecting history from Genesis to the Kings, and eventually to the arrival and the work of the Messiah. God called Abraham to start a nation with him. Abraham left his country and headed towards the land God promised to give him. Abraham stepped out in faith, trusting in God's promise. What an example for us! God invites us to trust and rely on his promises. And we can do so because God is faithful and fulfills his promises. Abraham did not receive inheritance himself, but God promised that he and his descendants after him would possess the land, even though at that time Abraham had no child. God predicted Israel's slavery in Egypt during more than 400 years. The Israelites would be afflicted under the rule of Pharaoh, but God also promised deliverance from slavery. God fulfilled his promise and gave Abraham a son, Isaac, who became the father of Jacob, and Jacob became the father of the 12 patriarchs. In his testimony, Stephen highlighted God's faithfulness and mercy towards the Israelites. Stephen continued his testimony, recollecting the story of Joseph. Listen to the story according to Acts chapter 7, verses 9 to 19. And the patriarchs, jealous of Joseph, sold him into Egypt. But God was with him, and rescued him out of all his afflictions, and gave him favor and wisdom before Pharaoh, king of Egypt, who made him ruler over Egypt, and over all his household. Now there came a famine throughout all Egypt and Canaan, and great affliction, and our fathers could find no food. But when Jacob heard that there was grain in Egypt, he sent out our fathers on their first visit. And on the second visit, Joseph made himself known to his brothers. And Joseph's family became known to Pharaoh. And Joseph sent and summoned Jacob, his father, and all his kindred, 75 persons in all. And Jacob went down into Egypt, and he died, he and our fathers. And they were carried back to Shechem, and laid in the tomb that Abraham had bought for a sum of silver from the sons of Hamor in Shechem. But as the time of the promise drew near, which God had granted to Abraham, the people increased and multiplied in Egypt, until there arose over Egypt another king who did not know Joseph. He dealt shrewdly with our race and forced our fathers to expose their infants, so that they would not be kept alive. History always teaches rich lessons. Stephen goes back to Joseph, son of Jacob, because Jacob loved more Joseph than his siblings and gave him a colorful robe. His brothers were jealous of Joseph and sold him to Egypt. But God was with Joseph, as he is with us. Despite slavery, false accusations, and imprisonment, Joseph was in God's care. Eventually, Pharaoh released Joseph from prison and elevated him to second in command over Egypt. God provided for his people through Joseph. During 7 years of plentiful harvest, Joseph stored grain. When the 7 years of famine came, there was food not only for the Egyptians, but also for Joseph's father and brothers. The brothers went to Egypt to buy grain, and there they happened to meet with Joseph. Once Joseph revealed his identity to his brothers, he sent them back to their homeland, summoning his father Jacob and all his family to move to Egypt, 75 persons in all. There in Egypt, Joseph kindly and generously provided for his father, his siblings, and families. Again, God fulfilled his promise given to Abraham, increasing greatly the number of his people in Egypt. Many years later, when a wicked Pharaoh came to power, the Israelites were oppressed. Pharaoh ordered to kill all the boys born to the Israelites. Stephen continued his historical testimony referring to Moses. Acts chapter 7 verses 20 to 38 reports the following. At this time Moses was born, and he was beautiful in God's sight. And he was brought up for 3 months in his father's house, and when he was exposed, Pharaoh's daughter adopted him and brought him up as her own son. And Moses was instructed in all the wisdom of the Egyptians, and he was mighty in his words and deeds. When he was 40 years old, it came into his heart to visit his brothers, the children of Israel. And seeing one of them being wronged, he defended the oppressed man and avenged him by striking down the Egyptian. He supposed that his brothers would understand that God was giving them salvation by his hand, but they did not understand. And on the following day he appeared to them as they were quarreling and trying to reconcile them, saying, "Men, you are brothers. Why do you wrong each other?" But the man who was wronging his neighbor thrust him aside, saying, "Who made you a ruler and judge over us? Do you want to kill me as you killed the Egyptian yesterday?" At this retort, Moses fled and became an exile in the land of Midian, where he became the father of two sons. Now when 40 years had passed, an angel appeared to him in the wilderness of Mount Sinai, in a flame of fire in a bush. When Moses saw it, he was amazed at the sight, and as he drew near to look, there came the voice of the Lord, "I am the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, and of Isaac, and of Jacob." And Moses trembled and did not dare to look. Then the Lord said to him, "Take off the sandals of your feet, for the place where you are standing is holy ground. I have surely seen the affliction of my people who are in Egypt, and have heard their groaning, and I have come down to deliver them. And now come, and I will send you to Egypt." This Moses, whom they rejected, saying, "Who made you a ruler and a judge?" This man God sent as both ruler and redeemer by the hand of the angel who appeared to him in the bush. This man led them out, performing wonders and signs in Egypt and at the Red Sea and in the wilderness for 40 years. This is the Moses who said to the Israelites, "God will raise up for you a prophet like me from your brothers." This is the one who was in the congregation in the wilderness with the angel who spoke to him at Mount Sinai and with his fathers. He received living oracles to give to us. God had plans for his people, and therefore he cared for them. He protected the life of the boy Moses, so that he was brought up in the very house of Pharaoh's daughter. There he was educated in the Egyptian sciences. God would use Moses as his powerful instrument. Moses was loyal to his roots and showed eagerness to act in defense of his fellow Israelites. Sadly, Moses took matters in his own hands. He supposed that his brothers would understand that God was giving them salvation by his hand, but they did not understand. He tried to reconcile two Israelites, but was charged guilty because earlier he had killed an Egyptian. He needed to flee from his own people to save his life. He settled in Midian, got married, and bore two sons, and worked for his father-in-law. Moses fled at the age of 40, lived 40 years in Midian. At the age of 80, God called Moses to act in behalf of the deliverance of the Israelites. God revealed himself to Moses in a flame of fire in a bush. God identified himself, saying, "I am the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham and of Isaac and of Jacob." God said to Moses that he had seen the affliction of the enslaved Israelites and that he had compassion on them and would deliver them. Moses became God's instrument to lead the Israelites out of slavery from Egypt. Through Moses, God performed wonders and signs in Egypt, opened the Red Sea for the Israelites to pass through. Moses led the Israelites during 40 years in the wilderness towards the promised land, Canaan. Moses was also the man through whom God gave the Ten Commandments to his people. Interesting to note, Stephen also included in his testimony the fact that God promised to Moses to send another prophet like him, that is, the Messiah, Jesus Christ.
Arno Bessel is pastor of St. Peter's Lutheran Church in Plymouth, Devon. St. Peter's offers a friendly atmosphere, and newcomers are always welcome.
During all those years, God revealed and granted his compassion and love towards the Israelites, being Moses, God's messenger. How did the Israelites deal with Moses? Stephen tells us in Acts chapter 7, verses 39 to 43. "Our fathers refused to obey him, but thrust him aside, and in their hearts they turned to Egypt, saying to Aaron, "Make for us gods who will go before us. As for this Moses who led us out from the land of Egypt, we do not know what has become of him." And they made a calf in those days, and offered a sacrifice to the idol, and were rejoicing in the works of their hands. But God turned away and gave them over to worship the host of heaven, as it is written in the book of the prophets, "Did you bring to me slain beasts and sacrifices during the 40 years in the wilderness, O house of Israel? You took up the tent of Moloch, and the star of your god Rephan, the images that you made to worship, and I will send you into exile beyond Babylon." Israel rejected Moses. They despised him. They grumbled. They made idols for them. They worshiped foreign gods and sacrificed to them instead of trusting in the true God. In a similar way, now the Supreme Council rejected the message of Stephen. But Stephen boldly continued to unveil the wickedness shown by the forefathers during history. Acts chapter 7, verses 44 to 50 report Stephen's words. "Our fathers had the tent of witness in the wilderness, just as he who spoke to Moses directed him to make it according to the pattern that he had seen. Our fathers, in turn, brought it in with Joshua when they dispossessed the nations that God drove out before our fathers. So it was until the days of David, who found favor in the sight of God and asked to find a dwelling place for the God of Jacob. But it was Solomon who built a house for him. Yet the Most High does not dwell in houses made by hands, as the prophet says, 'Heaven is my throne, and the earth is my footstool. What kind of house will you build for me, says the Lord, or what is the place of my rest?' Did not my hand make all these things?" Stephen had been accused of speaking against the Temple of Jerusalem. Now he picks up this point and refers to the tent which God commanded Israel to erect in the wilderness while traveling from Egypt to the Promised Land. God led his people into the Promised Land through the leadership of Joshua, driving out the nations and clearing the land for Israel. Many years later, David wanted to build a permanent temple, but it was Solomon who happened to do that. In all these instances, God's compassion, grace, and faithfulness were granted to the Israelites. After a detailed recollection of history, Stephen makes his point to the council. Acts chapter 7, verses 51 to 53 reproduces Stephen's words. "You stiff-necked people, uncircumcised in heart and ears, you always resist the Holy Spirit. As your fathers did, so do you. Which of the prophets did your fathers not persecute? And they killed those who announced beforehand the coming of the Righteous One, whom you have now betrayed and murdered, you who received the law as delivered by angels and did not keep it." Stephen boldly denounces the sin of his audience. "They are stiff-necked people, uncircumcised in hearts and ears." Though physically circumcised, as it was the practice among the Jews as a sign of belonging to God's people, they were acting like the uncircumcised pagan nations around them. They were not truly consecrated to the Lord. they always resisted the Holy Spirit, as seen during history. Prophets had been sent by God, but they were persecuted. When the great prophet Jesus Christ, the righteous one, came, they betrayed and murdered him. This is the picture we have here before our eyes. Stephen, a simple man, with no one to back him up, stands face to face in court with the highest authorities, tells them the history of their past, and charges them guilty with sin of murdering the very Son of God, Jesus Christ. What could possibly come out of this? The answer is given in Acts chapter 7, verses 54 and following. Now when they heard these things, they were enraged, and they ground their teeth at him. But he, full of the Holy Spirit, gazed into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. And he said, "Behold, I see the heavens opened and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God." But they cried out with a loud voice and stopped their ears and rushed together at him. Then they cast him out of the city and stoned him. And the witnesses laid down their garments at the feet of a young man named Saul. And as they were stoning him, he called out, "Lord Jesus, receive my spirit." And falling to his knees, he cried out with a loud voice, "Lord, do not hold this sin against them." And when he had said this, he fell asleep. And Saul approved of his execution. Hearing Stephen's speech, the members of the Supreme Council were enraged and they ground their teeth at him. The truth touched deeply the wounds of members of the council and they expressed their utter rage. In contrast, Stephen, full of the Holy Spirit, gazed into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing at the right hand of God. Once more, Stephen gave testimony to Jesus Christ, the powerful Lord who overcame all enemies. The Christ the members of the council had betrayed and murdered dwells in glory as the victor and shares in the honor of his Father. Then follows the climax of the occasion. The members of the council don't want to hear anything else and close their ears as stubborn children. They attack Stephen, cast him out of the city and stone him. What a horrible condition an innocent man is submitted to. However, Stephen does not curse his enemies. Rather, he pleads God's mercy on them, saying, "Lord, do not hold this sin against them." Stephen does not complain about his pain or his imminent terrible death. Rather, in faith, he sees his glorious future in heaven and commends himself to God, saying, "Lord Jesus, receive my spirit." Stephen's last moments of life and his death resemble very much Jesus' circumstances and words. The writer of the book of Acts makes a few notes about Saul, who would become the great apostle Paul. Saul, at this stage of his life, opposed the Christian faith and agreed with the extermination of Christ's messengers. So much so that the witnesses of the stoning laid down their garments at the feet of Saul. Besides, we are told that Saul approved the execution of Stephen. The devil and the unbelieving world hate Jesus Christ, the gospel of God's love, and the bearers of the gospel. This is a common feature that follows through all the times of history. However, the voice of God and of his messengers cannot be silenced. Stephen received strength and boldness to give testimony to the Lord Jesus and remained faithful to the end. He endured martyrdom, and so did many others after him, and became an extraordinary example of encouragement and faithfulness for us today. Nowadays, persecution continues either in unveiled forms or openly. We pray for God's mercy upon the enemies of Christ, and we pray for God's grace upon all Christians, so that they might remain faithful to the Lord and confess Him as Lord and Savior under all circumstances.
This study has been prepared and presented by Pastor Arno Bessel. He serves St. Peter's Lutheran Church in Plymouth, Devon. The congregation at St. Peter's is expecting to meet you and to share the good news of Christ with you. Divine services are held on Sunday at 11 a.m. and Bible studies on Wednesdays at 7 p.m. For more details, visit our website, stpeterslutherans.co.uk. You can also follow us on Facebook, St. Peter's Lutheran Church, Plymouth, England. For questions or comments about any issues raised in this program, write an email to info@lutheranradio.co.uk. Check our program online and stay tuned.